जयो गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरदारी जयो गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरदारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जयो राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजगाचार्य स्तोत्र सत श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस सभे चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग आवर डिस्कशन ऑन दी फिफ्थ कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 8 इंटाइटल द कैरेक्टर ऑफ भरद महाराज टेक्स्ट 28 एंड 29 दे आर बोथ इन प्रोज। तत्रापि हावा आत्मनो मृगत्वकारणं भगवत आराधन समीहानुभावेनानुस्मृत्य भृशम् अनुतप्त्यमान आह। सो द ट्रांसलेशन गोज़, ऑल्दो इन द बॉडी ऑफ अ डियर, ओ Should we do word by word? Word by word. Tatrapi, in that birth, Hava, indeed, Atmanah, of himself, Mirgatva Karanam, the cause of accepting the body of a deer, Bhagavat Aradhana Samiha, of past activities in devotional service, Anubhavena, by consequence, Anusmritya, remembering, Brisham, always, Anutaptyamanah, repenting, Aha, said. Translation: although in the body of a deer, Bharata Maharaj, due to his rigid devotional service in his past life, could understand the cause of his birth in that body. Considering his past and present life, he constantly repented his activities, speaking in the following way. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanyebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to welcome all devotees for today's morning class. I'd like to seek their blessings as well. So, we're discussing about the pastimes of Bharata Maharaj. And he has now appeared in the body of a deer. But because of some previous Bhagavat Aradhana Samiha, because of his previous absorption in service to the Lord, he has a benediction where he can actually remember who he was in the past life. So in the translation, Prabhupada writes that because he could remember, now he's lamenting. So they say, you only value something when you have lost it. Isn't it? When you have lost something, then only you realize its value. So Bharata Maharaj lost his life as a human being, as a king, even more as a devotee. So then he understood his value. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, so today we like to discuss five learning lessons, one from this purport, verse 28, and around four lessons from the next purport. So let's see what this first purport Srila Prabhupada says. Prabhupada writes, there is a special concession for a devotee. Right? So that's very nice. We are feeling encouraged. If you are a devotee, we have a special concession. What is that concession? Even if he attains a human body, even if he attains a body that is non-human,
By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he advances further in devotional service. So that's the first concession. No matter what, bhakti always continues. Okay, no matter what, bhakti always continues. Neha bikarma naso asti, pratyavayo na vidyate, swalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even if one does a little endeavor in bhakti, bhakti will always continue, even if you don't have a human body. Then Prabhupada continues, whether by remembering his past or by natural causes. So somehow or other, bhakti will continue even if we have a non-human body. Either in that non-human body, we may actually remember who we are before, or by some natural causes. Now, what is this natural causes? Right? So His Holiness Janardhan Goswami Maharaj, in his Purva Ashram days, he had written a book, Animals in Krishna Consciousness. And he had written so many different kinds of animals, how they are, you know, attending Mangala Arati, how they only eat prasadam. So many stories are like that. This was in the 90s. But now, after what, 20 years from that book, many of us have that experience. We have seen, you know, dogs, cats, animals, birds, what are monkeys maybe, who are attracted to devotional life, attracted to spiritual places, attracted to devotees. So natural causes means what? Srila Prabhupada one time explained that natural causes means the animal, or maybe the devotee being punished to born in an animal body, non-human body, they may not remember, but sometimes they are put into circumstance. For example, that animal ends up in devotee association, or that animal ends up in a house of a devotee, or that animal ends up taking prasadam. So somehow or other, by natural causes or circumstance, they are placed in a place or in a situation where it's beneficial for them, although having an animal body. Srila Prabhupada has also mentioned that especially in a dham, staying in a holy place, if one does some sin, knowingly considers does a sin, then definitely he is punishable by the Lord. But the Lord is also merciful, gives him a concession that he is given a chance to take birth again in the dham. But maybe as a monkey or as a pig, right? So Krishna is punishing also, but at the same time there's a concession also. Right? So the first lesson that we can learn from this purport is that although Krishna is giving you a concession, giving us a concession, we should not risk our current birth of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes a person may seem that, array, you know, to advance in bhakti is so difficult, seems so tough. Why to, you know, it's okay. Let me take a little, I may not achieve it in this life. Next life, I'll get a better destination. But why to take such a risk? We should not risk our current birth, and we should practice Krishna consciousness very seriously. To take future life again is a huge risk, because again involves huge suffering. We cannot escape suffering. Right? So it's not worth it. If one can perfect one's life in this very life itself, then better we try. One should not even have the thought that, chalo, chalega, next life I'll try better. This life is not so good. No, it's not like that. Because to think of next life is such a big risk actually. Even though Krishna is giving a concession. Even though Krishna is giving a concession, still it's such a huge risk. Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Kesava Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, you know, sometimes when let's say people who are appearing for exams, now recently exam season is going on, results are coming. So sometimes people say that, you know, I'll try for this competitive exam. If I don't get it, it's okay, I will try this, I will do that. If I don't get, I will take a 1 year drop and then I'll try again next year. Why are you taking such a risk? Who knows what will happen next year? Kal ho na ho. Hey gane, you don't know. You try what you can, move on. So to take risk of your life, take risk of a time, it's such a huge thing. So therefore, we should, we can learn from this that we should never risk our birth. And Srila Prabhupada continues to say in that purport, it is not easy for a common man to remember the activities of his past life. It's not easy. So yesterday also His Grace Nityananda Chaitanya Prabhu was mentioning that not everyone can remember. Some people do remember that to certain parts of their life. So it's not easy for anyone to remember their past life, but Bharata Maharaj could remember his past life. Why? Due to his great sacrifices and engagement in devotional service. So yesterday we it was also discussed that, you know, why we don't remember. So the five ajnana vrittis were discussed. Why we don't remember and for what purpose. Now let's see the second verse, which is a huge prose, but I'll just read the translation. This is verse number 29. So the translation goes, this is the lamentation of Bharata Maharaj. What is he lamenting? In the body of a deer, Bharata Maharaj began to lament. So what he laments? What misfortune! I have fallen from the path of self-realized. I have fallen from the path of the self-realized. I gave up my real sons. Real means his human sons. Now he has wife, dear wife or dear children maybe. But he is saying that I gave up my real sons, wife and home, to advance in spiritual life, and I took shelter in a solitary holy place in the forest. I became self-controlled, self-realized. I engaged constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshipping. Remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. I was successful in my attempt, so much so that my mind was always absorbed in devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now, I have obtained the body of a deer and I have fallen far from my devotional practices. So here is the lamentation of Bharata Maharaj. This lamentation is very important. This is not a public lamentation, but this is important even for life of devotees, you know, that we should realize what we were before, and by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, grace of Vaishnavas, grace of spiritual master, what we are now. Recently a devotee was sharing that it's easy to be critical, but it's very difficult to be grateful. That, you know, criticizing, though, you know, anyone can criticize, anyone can become a critic, but to be grateful for what we have. So this part of expressing lamentation or expressing one's heart or mind in our Acharya Sampradaya, they call it as Vijñapti. Vijñapti means confessions. So Narottam Das Thakur is very expert in this. He has written many songs with the theme of Vijñapti. Sometimes you may have him feeling very heen, and that is a Vijñapti. And sometimes he has his feeling of desiring to serve Radha and Krishna. That is a Vijñapti. Basic Vijñapti means confessions of the mind. So in Bhagavatam, across different places, so we see, for example, Pururava in the 9th canto, he had ran after Urvasi. But later in the 11th canto, we understand his confessions of his mind, where he's retrospecting and realizing that what a fool I am, what I had, what I have. Just, you know, relating this with current modern day scenario, sometimes I wouldn't say lament, but we don't reflect enough. So recently I was talking to some devotees who were part of our Gurukul. Recently we closed our Gurukul. So those devotees, they were calling me and we were just talking, and they were telling what they are doing now. And every one of them would say, we miss those days, we miss those days. Really, what good fortune we had, what this we had. So it's by nature that very hard for us to actually appreciate what we have. You value something when you lose it. This is the rule, unfortunate rule of this world. So therefore we should endeavor, you know, to actually count our blessings, as they say. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada begins by saying, due to his stringent execution of devotional service, Maharaj Bharata could remember the activities of his past life and how he was raised to the spiritual platform. Due to his foolishness, he became attached to an insignificant deer and thus fell down and had to accept the body of a deer. This is significant for every devotee. The Prabhupada writes like, this is significant for every devotee. So Prabhupada wants to stress a very important lesson here. Due to devotional service, we become elevated. But if we make any mistake, we can again glide down. We should not think that we are beyond laws, we are superhuman, we have become someone very special, we have become a Daityapati, someone very dear to the Lord. Right? Because of bhakti, we have become elevated. People respect us, people like us, we have a good demeanor, whatever benefits. But if we do any mistake, we can glide down. We see so many examples in Bhagavatam. One I was just thinking of, an animal body, is like Gajendra. Pious king, Indra Bhuna Raja. some mistake he did, he got cursed. And in an animal body, he could not remember even exactly what is the name of God. You know, what a state is this, you know? It's a very difficult state. Of course, Krishna favored him, but how many of us have that kind of piety of Indravana Maharaj, you know? So, we should be very careful. Prabhupada continues to say, Prabhupada continues to say, if we misuse our position and think that we are fully engaged in devotional service and can do whatever we like. Prabhupada writes like that. If we think that now I am engaged in bhakti and I can do whatever we like, we have to suffer like Bharata Maharaj and be condemned to accept the type of body that impairs our devotional service. So now we are thinking we are practicing bhakti, I am someone very wonderful, someone very great, and I can do whatever I like, it's okay. I know the means, methods and processes. That's not true. We'll be condemned, Prabhupada says, and we will be impaired in our devotional service. So someone may argue, but bhakti is so powerful that even if I do some mistake or I have some bad thing or something, bhakti is so powerful, bhakti can nullify anything. Yes, bhakti is very powerful, indeed. Ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story of Prashadra. Prashadra was a king and he was cursed by his spiritual master, Vasishtha. Because one day in the raining, now rainy season is going to come, and he was in Goshala. So suddenly a tiger came in and Prashadra came out with a sword. And he thought, you know, he was cutting the tiger. But because it was dark, by mistake, he cut the cow. He did Gohatya. And of course, he cut the ear of the tiger and the tiger ran away. But his guru came and guru said, what is this? You did Gohatya. You are a vulnerable king. And he cursed him. Next life, you will born as a Shudra. Prashadra, innocent, mistake you did. Guru got angry, but Guru's curse. So Prashadra, what he did was, he took shelter, completely, full shelter of bhakti. He purified his life, gave up everything, observed brahmacharya. He did his entire life absorbed in bhakti. And in that very same life, he went back home, back to Godhead. What happened to his Guru curse? His Guru cursed him to be a Shudra, he got nullified. So bhakti is so powerful that even if you do some mistake, it can be nullified. Bhakti, yes, is definitely powerful. But here, what we want to stress, that although bhakti, yes, is very powerful, but we should have the right attitude also. Bhakti is powerful, I am not powerful. Bhakti is powerful, I am not powerful. But sometimes by practicing bhakti, we feel we are powerful. You know, Srila Prabhupada says sometimes that the trouble with my disciples, I mean all followers, we included, is that they are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. That sometimes we think that everything is going on right, it's okay. So, when one becomes a little callous, right, or a little overconfident in the practice of devotional service, that's a very dangerous thing. Shaubari Muni also has this example where, you know, he was meditating underwater and he thought that no Maya can touch me. He became a little overconfident. And how Krishna humbled him? The mating of some fish agitated him so much that he ended up marrying 50 princesses. So can you imagine mating of fish? Human species, animal species, what is that to even attract, to agitate? But that much they want to extend, they want to show that do not actually become complacent. Right? So Maya is very, very strong. We must be very equally careful to handle devotional service. We carefully handle devotional service. At the same time, we should be also very careful to avoid Maya. We should not become complacent or overconfident. As they say, one should be conscious of Krishna and cautious of Maya. In the later, around 10 chapters after this, we are on the 8th chapter. 10 chapters after this, when we are discussing about the prayers of the residents of Jambudvip, there's a beautiful prayer which is on these lines. That purport also Prabhupada talks about Bharata Maharaj case. So there's a beautiful verse which comes. Vadanti Vishwam Kavayasmanashwaram. Vadanti Vishwam. Vadanti means preaching, speaking. These people, who are these people? Kavayaha, the expert kavis. They are speaking and preaching to the whole world. Vadanti Vishwam. Okay? This was the time before social media. But anyways, they were preaching to the whole world. Vadanti Vishwam, Kavayaha. They are not ordinary people, they are kavis. What are they preaching? Sma, asma. This world is Nashwar. They are openly preaching this world is temporary, this world is, you know, not out, this is dukkalayam ashashvatam. Openly they are preaching. Vadanti vishvam kavaya sma nashvaram. Pashyanti. They are not only preaching, they are also seeing. They are realizing. Cha atmada cha a pashanchi chatyatma vido vipaschitaha. And adhyatma vido, adhyatma vidaha. They are filled with spiritual knowledge. It's not that they don't know. Some people speak about realization. Like nowadays, self-motivation people, they also are quite realized people. You know, focus on your main goals. Don't worry about small goals. So they also understand certain things are nashwar and certain things are permanent. They also have some understanding, but they don't have spiritual understanding. So these kavis, vadanti vishwam, they are preaching, they are speaking, pashyanti, they are seeing, they are realizing. Adhyatma vidaha, they have full knowledge of spiritual life. Vipaschita, they are expert in discriminating. Despite having all these qualities, tatapi, but then again, muhyanti, they become bewildered. By who? Tava maya. O Lord Aja, O Lord Supreme Unborn One, tatapi muhyanti tava maya. By your maya, again they become illusioned. Suvismitam krityam. This is the most bewildering thing. Right? It's like a teacher in school who teaches you maths, who teaches you physics, who teaches you science. And that same teacher, when sits for their own exam, fails. The whole year you're teaching, when that teacher made the paper and that teacher knows all back fun, but that teacher, when he attempts their own paper, that teacher fails. So you say, this is suvismitam kritam. This is just impossibly bewildering. It is so wondrous. So like this, the devotees are praying, nato smitam. Right? So this is the second lesson that we can learn. First lesson from this purport. But the second lesson I thought of discussing. Be conscious of Krishna and cautious of Maya. Now Srila Prabhupada continues. Only the human form is able to execute devotional service. This is a special prerogative of human form. But if we voluntarily give up this for sense gratification, right? If we voluntarily give up human existence for sense gratification, I see so many verses, Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Someone who's only focused on indriya preeti, sense gratification, he is known as a crazy person, right? If we voluntarily give up this sense gratification, we certainly have to be punished. This punishment, however, Prabhupada writes, is not exactly like that endured by an ordinary materialistic person. Second time Prabhupada is saying. First he told that devotees are punished with some concession. Now Prabhupada says that even if a devotee commits a mistake, he is punished. But his punishment is not that of an ordinary non-devotee. Special is there. What does this mean? So, you know, a devotee, he may say that whether you punish me same like them or don't punish me, punish the word, when you hear also you become panic. Isn't it? Punishment. Right? For those who don't attend, they will be punished. There's a heavy feeling, you know. Punishment itself is such a heavy word. We don't even like it. But here Prabhupada is saying the suffering and the punishment of a devotee is different from a non-devotee. Is he not biased? Krishna is doing some bed bhav. But no, even in current modern world we see kings or royalty. Right? Now India maybe not so significant, but in many countries, like the country which I am from, Malaysia, we have all states, we have like kings, right? 7-8 kings of each states. Now if the king does some mistake, right, which the kings do, obviously, they are also humans, the king does some mistake, they are not subjected to the government laws. There's a royal court, there's a separate court, where the kings are tried among kings. They are not tried in common men. Right, there's a royal court, royal lawyer, royal judge. They only can trial the kings. And of course, the punishment is not going to be like ordinary people. And everyone in the kingdom, government accepts this. Because they are not ordinary people. They are kings. Similarly, in military also same. In military also, if you're part of the armed forces, even if you do a mistake, you're taken to military court. You're not taken to ordinary court. There's a military lawyer, there's a military judge, there's a military punishment. Everything is given in a different stance only. Why? Because you're a military man. You're above the rest. You're different from the rest. So similarly, even if you're a devotee, because of practicing bhakti, Krishna decides you to take you to a different devotional court. where you'll have a devotional lawyer, a devotional judge, and a devotional punishment. Okay? How is that punished? Prabhupada continues. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is punished in such a way that his eagerness to attain the lotus feet of the Lord is increased. Wow! Ye to punishment nahi lag raha hai. He is punished in such a way where his eagerness increased. Okay, punish painful, but eagerness is nice, isn't it? We are trying to develop that lauliam, that eagerness. So Prabhupada continues to say, by his intense desire, he returns home in the next lifetime. Devotional service is very completely described here. The verse Prabhupada is quoting, Tat anushravana manana sankirtana radhana anusmarana bhiyogena. By the process of hearing, remembering, chanting, worshipping, like that. Through this complete process, this is what Bharata Maharaj was saying. I was completely anushravana, completely hearing, always hearing, anushravana. I was always hearing, always remembering, always chanting, always worshipping. So Prabhupada says, this is what bhakti is about. So here, Prabhupada is saying that punishment means the devotee eagerness is increased. Is it a punishment or benediction? So for those living through the incident, for example, if a devotee is punished and he becomes a Hare Krishna, dog or animal, for that time, the devotee feeling so hellish, he is not thinking it's a benediction. He is not able to realize his intensity is increasing. So in that sense, it is a punishment. At that point of time, it's such a hellish condition. It is a punishment, suffering indeed, so much suffering. But when one goes through the end of life and when one looks back at the greater picture, then one can appreciate Lord's mercy. Oh, that was good for me. Oh, that was actually Lord's benediction. So it's easy to say that your eagerness is increasing. But the devotee actually never realizes his eagerness is increasing. He's suffering. Right? So therefore, again, we should not have a risk. We should not risk our life. So this comes a third lesson. First lesson is we should not risk this very life. Second lesson is that we should always be conscious of Krishna and cautious of Maya. Third lesson we can learn from this is that we should have faith in the Lord. Just some days ago, some people means I'm like around 5-10 people keep messaging me in the span of a few weeks actually. So much problems. Married problems, this problem, that problem. Some students they'll message, I got low marks, my father is not talking to me. 12th board exams just got released. Where to study, what to do. And because somehow they were all connected to little Krishna consciousness. Many of them write, life is so difficult, I don't know what to do. But I know that suicide is not an option, but still I'm suffering, what to do? So at least that much is there. But so much stuck in the mire of their own problems. Right, relationship problem, financial problem, health problem, issues after issues. How to tell all these people that because you're practicing bhakti, actually is the benediction. No, they cannot realize it. It's hellish of suffering. Right? One has to come across this. One has to go through this. One has to come out of it. One has to tolerate. And then, in the later point of time, one can actually appreciate that this is actually a benediction. So, on the point of tolerating, in Bhagavad Gita, three verses come which speaks about this very nicely. Okay, this is the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We are discussing fifth canto. Anyways, fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Text 23. 23? Text 23 or 24 to 26, like that. So Krishna says, Shaknoti haiva yashodum. You should tolerate to the point that you can tolerate. Praksharira vimokshanat. Till your body is there, you should tolerate. Sometimes when someone says, nah, just tolerate. Next question comes, how long to tolerate? Tura sahan karuna, kab tak sahan karenge? Isn't it? Shaknoti haiva yah shodum. To the point one should just tolerate, shodum, shakya, like Marathi is shakya sahega. To your ability, you should tolerate. Prak sharira vimokshana. Till the time you have not given up this body. What you should tolerate? Kama, krodha, utbhava vegam. The pushes of kama and krodha. Right? Everything in this world boils down to karma and krodha, likes and dislikes. Right? Love and hate. Everything boils down to these things. So we are moving around this world liking something, not liking something. We are being like, you know, table tennis. a person hits a tick tuck tuck ping pong. You know, you have been hit from this. Two pads are there, love and hate. Kama and Krodha, and just hitting you left, right, left, side. We are moving this world like this. We just have to learn to tolerate this. What do you become if you tolerate? Sayuktaha, such a person who does this, sa suki nara. You become a happy person. So for devotees, we will sing, happiness make hai. We are not interested to be a suki nara. Right? We want to be a devotee. So next verse, Krishna continues to say, if you are a happy person, your anta suko, who is experiencing happiness within, anta aramas, who is satisfied within, tata antar jodhi revaya, who is focused within, he is happy, suki naraha, he is a happy person inside, he is a satisfied person inside, and he is also focused within, antar jodhi. Sa yogi brahma nirvanam, such a person is a great yogi, brahma nirvanam, he is on the platform of absolute truth. Brahma bhuta adhikacchati, he achieves a absolute platform. So from a suki nara, you become to a transcendentalist. Krishna is saying like that. Now third level, continue the next verse. Krishna says, labhyante brahma nirvanam. Now you have achieved the process, the platform of transcendence. Rishayaha. Okay? Such people, Rishaha, such people, Sheena Kalmasa, who has given up all their misdeeds. Chinna Dvaidha Yatatmanaha. He is not bound by dualities anymore. Sarva Bhute Hiterata. Such a person now starts to actually think about the welfare of others. So this is a beautiful thread that problems come in our life. If we are able to tolerate them, we can be a happy person. Not only be happy, but focus within, we become a transcendentalist. In a transcendentalist, one becomes to a purified existence, and then one can actually sarva bhuta hiterata, can actually think about the welfare of others. So when we are so much absorbed in our own problems, neither can we help others, nor can we help our own self. We are no good for neither. We are no good for our own self, nor are we good for others. But if we can tolerate, then we can also help ourselves, and ultimately we can help others. So we tolerate these urges of lust, and hate, lust and anger, desires and hate. If we just tolerate these two basic emotions, right? These are like the basic colors, you know, RGB is red, green and blue, which is the color of everything in this world. So these are the two basic emotions which give rise to all other emotions, right? We become a happy person, we become a transcendental person, we become a focus within, and we can help others. So this is the greatest welfare that we can do to others. So this is the fourth lesson, that problems will come. Back of our mind, we realize that Krishna wants to increase our eagerness. But the main part is to appreciate that Krishna's punishment, we have to tolerate. Tolerate means what? Focus inside to benefit outside. That is tolerate. Tolerate means to focus inside. When we cannot tolerate something, we try to change the externals. Problem comes, we try to change. I cannot tolerate. Like heat is there, so much heat is there. Cannot tolerate the heat. So you start putting water, you start taking bath, you start drinking something, you start changing the outside. Right? But tolerate means to focus on the inside. Then really we can benefit the outside. That's the fourth lesson. Now we'll come to the final lesson, fifth lesson. This is the longest discussion in this section. Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport, and I thought I can share some points related to this. So now Srila Prabhupada comes to some practical advice. Everyone likes practical advice, isn't it? Actually, everything is practical only. But we think something is more practical than the other. So Prabhupada starts to say, the constant hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrataha. 9 chapter 14th verse. Those who have taken to Krishna conscious should be very careful that not a single moment is wasted and not a single moment is spent without chanting and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here Prabhupada is saying the key, what is the practical advice? One to avoid all issues and problems and, you know, gliding down to lower forms of life. The key is to be careful not to waste a single moment. Right? So this is the fifth lesson, the final lesson, which is the longest discussion we'll have towards the end of this class. That we should not waste time. Don't waste time, utilize time. That is the fifth lesson. Srila Prabhupada continues to say, if we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage them in devotional service full time. As far as the members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna conscious movement. Yet, they must take a lesson from the life of Bharata Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in what? Three things: frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. These are the three most easy things that we succumb to. Frivolous talk, prajalpa, sleep, or voracious eating. Atyahara, prayayascha, prajalpo. Just like nectar of instruction is, Sri Upadeshamrita is advising us. Frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. Right? This is how we waste time. So, in this regards, I thought I'll share some excerpts from Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav, the glorifying the pastimes of Bhaktisana Saraj Thakur, especially when he had established this Gaudiya Math, Gaudiya Mission, and so prestigious it has become. By 1930s, they had get their huge marble temple in Bagh Bazar. But Siddhanta Saraj Thakur, although such an expert proponent of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he was also at the same time very careful to find faults or find discrepancies in his own movement. And he had a concern. So I'm just going to read this excerpt. As the Gaudiya Math continued to grow, it attracted more money and prestige. Sometimes we think ISKCON is like this, isn't it? Yet with these came problems. Up until around 1930, when the marble temple in Bagh Bazar was opened, most devotees who joined the mission were serious about spiritual life. And the mood was buoyant and lively. Right? When a person is very determined, when a person is very focused, there's a lot of livelihood. We are interested, we want to do it. Every Vaishnava bhajan is like a new song. But while preaching, temple construction and other devotional activities continued unabated, lethargy, backbiting and other prejudicial propensities gradually infiltrated. So as the temple is growing slowly, lethargy, laziness, backbiting among each other and all other propensities infiltrated. Srila Saraswati Thakur saw seeds of worldly attachment taking root in the very institution he had found to expel iniquity from the world. We are here to preach about becoming detached to the world, but the seeds of material attachment were coming within the society. Many Mathavasis became increasingly idle. Right? They become lazy. Their days largely consumed around cooking, eating, washing pots, sleeping, again waking up, cooking, eating, washing pots, and so on. Khanega, peenega, sonega, utnega. That's it. That was life. Life was centered around 9:30, 4:30. Hare Krishna. Srila Saraswati Thakur would lament, "Our ashram is a joint mess, a place simply for eating and sleeping." Right? So he quote Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, "Sometimes I eat nicely, sometimes not. I see this and that, dress as I like, and I have no worries at all. I am so carefree that I never consider that one day I will have to give up this body." Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he warned that to collect funds and to convert them into stool and urine. Such a graphic thing, you know? We're collecting and then we're consuming and converting it. To collect funds just to convert them to stool and urine and to live like a monkey is not the business of the Gaudiya Math. So it appeared that certain of his leading disciples were becoming ever more motivated by desires for popularity, honor, plaudits, and position. Kanaka Kamini and, you know, gold. What is that? Puja Labha Pratishta. Srila Saraswati Thakur deemed this inevitable because for propagating, that means he said this you cannot avoid. Ye to aayega hi, puja labha pratishta, this problem. For propagating Shuddha Bhakti, the institution was collecting money from materialists, from non-devotees. Right? Along with collecting money from them, the poison had to be ingested. while taking money from outside, poison was there. That poison is infiltrating. That poison is taking form of attachment to puja, labha and pratishta among the devotees. So that's what Thakur is saying. At Bagh Bazaar, a visitor once observed. He told Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it seems as if your preachers are losing their edge. Seems they are losing their edge. Srila Saraswati Thakur replied, I established this matta for Hari Bhajan. What happens to those who do not perform bhajan is now manifesting. He says like that. So then in 1927, he started to write a letter to his disciples. They are in the same mutt only. But he penned a letter calling for unity. It's a very nice letter he writes. Surrounded by enemies, we are serving the Lord and his devotees with great determination. Who are the enemies? Each one of us more or less becomes forgetful of Krishna's service, being the servants of our six enemies, the Shadripu, Kama, Krodha, Moha. My plea to all of you, his disciples, is to unite and serve the Lord in a spirit of friendship and cooperation, each having the same goal in your hearts. Ekaki amar nahi paya bhala. Alone I cannot obtain strength. Remember this and perform kirtan yajna in unison, the indispensable good quality expected of those in charge of kirtan yajna is to have friendship with all Vaishnava. He says, what is the inherent good quality that is expected? What outside people expect of us? To have friendship with all Vaishnava and execute devotional service by pleasing all Vaishnavas. So he wanted that cooperation, friendship and unity to come. In another note, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during his last visit to Puri, Jagannath Puri, he instructed the ashram residents there. He says, all Mattavasis should constantly be engaged in serving Hari, Guru, Vaishnava and always hear and discuss Harikata. If one becomes averse to Harikata and Hari Seva, he will again become ensnared in material desires. He will become again caught up in material desires. Then what will happen? Time will be spent in gossiping, rapping about others, fighting, gratifying the senses. If the Mattavasis do not understand that Vaishnava Seva is the most beneficial activity, they will not progress in devotion. One has to cultivate Shuddha Bhakti by sincerely serving the Vaishnavas and by endeavoring to please them with body, mind and soul. Very nice. So our strength or our luxury is in each other. Having each other, being with each other, that is our actual strength and luxury. Not facilities or big externals. The luxury is that we have each other. And with each other, what do? Backbiting, gossiping? No. That we discuss Harikatha, we do Hari Seva, and we do Vaishnava Seva. Srila Prabhupada continues to write in the purport. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we will certainly sleep more. Sense gratification ensues and we may be degraded to a lower form of life. Right? Too much eating, too much sleeping, sense gratification. He's linking like that. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked, at least for the time being. The best course, Srila Prabhupada advice, is to take the advice of Rupa Goswami, avyartha kalatvam. So Prabhupada in one definition, in one lecture, he defines, a devotee should be always alert whether he is wasting time or utilizing time. That is a devotee's business. This is avyartha kalatvam. Always alert. Am I wasting time or am I utilizing time? Similarly, in one morning walk, Prabhupada mentions, time. How is time wasted? So Prabhupada says, time is wasted in the time we engage in our bodily necessities. Too much time focus on pampering the body and too much time decorating the body and concern about the body. This is time wasted. Okay. So then one disciple, one devotee asked Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, because when you talk about body, everyone becomes a little, you know, I need the body, I need to maintain the body, this body, that body, isn't it? Everybody wants to talk about the body. Somebody. So one devotee told Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, sometimes, well, if we sleep less, sleep ka bahut sensitive issue hai. Right? I also experience this. Sometimes, if we sleep less, we could do more for Krishna, yes. But at the same time, we will become very tired. I mean, you could be, I mean, aisa bol rahe na, agar kam soenge to fir thak jate hai, to seva kaise karenge? Then Prabhupada's beautiful, you know, reply. So intelligent, so brilliant. Sometimes we also think like that. If I don't take care of the body, hey, body is important. I should take care. How I can sleep less? How I can eat less? It's not possible. So Prabhupada's brilliant reply. What Prabhupada says?
Yes.
Practically, everything depends on practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina. Abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa yoga means yoga practice. Practice it. So this whole Krishna consciousness movement is to practice transferring from one kind of consciousness to another. So basically saying that even if you sleep less, you still can be efficient. Even if you eat less, you still can be efficient. It's all a matter of practice. So Prabhupada gives an example also. He's seeing the devotees are maybe not so convinced. So we require practice, Prabhupada says. Example, just like one man, he can run few miles. I cannot run even 1 mile. He has practiced. We see some boys, they run. They practice. Practice it. Strength of the heart is increased by practice. And if I run, my heart will be palpitating. You get palpitations. Right? Why one person is able to run? Why one person is unable to run? Because he has practiced. Because I have no practice. So, Prabhupada says, by practice, everything can be attained. So beautiful. This is a process of sadhana actually. To think that not possible, maybe I cannot this, that. That's in the mind. But it's a matter of practice. And after all, aren't we not sadhakas? Sadhakas means practice, practitioners. Right? Srila Prabhupada continues in the purport. He says, purport of this verse. We should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for rendering devotional service and nothing else. This is the secure position of one wanting to return home back to Godhead. Okay? So the best defense is a good offense. Right? We are so careful and scared of Maya. The best way is that we should utilize our time in Krishna consciousness. So there are some nice lines by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur talking about this spiritual mentality and material mentality, why this happens. So he says, the jiva invites difficulties. The jiva is inviting difficulties. Ajao, dukh. We are inviting difficulties. When? When we carp about scandalizing, unnecessarily gossiping about others. So when we carp about others, that means when we are carping, when we are talking, when we are scandalizing, thinking, aisa karo, aisa karo. When we are unnecessarily gossiping about others, we are nothing but inviting miseries. One should always covet auspiciousness. One should always look for auspiciousness. One can control his mind and extirpate residual desires by serving the holy name. So remove those unwanted tendencies, cleanse the mind by serving the holy name. Right? And always covet auspiciousness. Don't look for negativity, go for positiveness. Then he continues to say, the intrinsic nature of the materialistic consciousness is what? Induces an aspiring devotee to attempt to become a bada bhakta, big devotee. Intrinsic nature of the material consciousness is, I want to become a bada bhakta. Isn't it? Sometimes we like to feel that, mujhe thoda respect karo yaar, main senior devotee hoon. Kitna saal ho gaya bhakti kar rahe. Isn't it? A desire comes that I want to be bada. He says, don't try to become bada, try to become bhalo. Don't try to become big, try to become good. The aspiring devotee attempts to become big rather than to become good, bada and bhalo. And thus, sidetracks him from the precious goal of Shuddha Bhakti. So our desire should be, I want to be a bhalo bhakta, not a bada bhakta. So I would like to conclude here. And I'll just summarize what are the 5 lessons which I thought we can learn from these 2 purports. First is that we should not risk our lives for another birth. It is very, very dangerous. Although Krishna is giving concessions, Krishna is wanting to increase our eagerness, but still it is very risky. We should all try to finish our business in this very life, like Prabhupada says. Second, he said we should always be conscious of Krishna and cautious of Maya. Maya is very powerful. We should be very careful. That we should not slip. Third, we should have faith on the Lord and His omniscience. Krishna knows best. Whatever difficulty, suffering, situation that I am in, I have to have faith that Krishna knows what is best for me. Even if it's the most troubling of times. And with that, fourth lesson, tolerate. In tolerating, we focus on within. When you tolerate and you focus on within, then you can do the best without. You can actually help others. Because if we don't tolerate our problems, then neither can we help ourselves, nor can we help others. And fifth point, which Srila Prabhupada shared, don't waste time. Utilize it. So like this, we'd like to end. Thank you all so much for your patient learning. I seek your blessings that we can, try to imbibe what we have spoken. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavadam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Pad ki. Hare Krishna.